This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm thanking you today for taking the time to listen to this message for December of the year 2022. And our subject scripture for this message is taken from the letter of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, and verse number 19. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse number 19, and we will find these words recorded. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The title for this message is Time to Separate Yourself. In this last month of the year, and following the results of the November elections, this message is one of both hope and, again, warning. On the good side, according to the first part of our subject scripture, we are assured that irregardless of how things are going in our lives, this nation, and around the world, God is still in control, and He knows each and every one of us that are His. Not only that, but He has sealed us. This means, just like you put something that you want to preserve or protect into a container of some sort, then you close and seal it so that nothing or no one can get to it to damage it. In this season that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I recall several of the prophecies that foretold the purpose of His coming. Here are just a few of many. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Then if we look at Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 21, we find these words, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And one more in Matthew chapter 1, go down to verse number 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which, being interpreted, is God with us. That's in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23. Now, these and many other scriptures announced what this birth was about and the mission that would be fulfilled by this particular child. During this time of the year, the vast majority of us tend to take this time to be one of overindulging ourselves with the idea of giving and receiving gifts, getting together with family and friends to strengthen and renew relationships, and just having a good time. Oh, most of us know what the holiday is about if asked, but that has become secondary to our other pursuits in life. The true reason for the season has been replaced with another individual, Santa Claus. Old Saint Nick, as he is sometimes referred to, is an individual who is supposed to be representative of the spirit of this season by going all over the world in one 24-hour period, giving gifts to all the little boys and girls with the stipulation that they have been nice or else he will overlook them. Of course, we know that that is not the case in every instance, as some good children have to do without because their parents were too poor to buy them things, as well as some parents giving gifts to their children who have been downright bad. The point is, Christmas and Santa Claus are supposed to reflect the idea that God gave humanity the most precious gift that he had, and that was his son, Jesus. So man replicates this idea of giving gifts to all their loved ones in that spirit. But over time, the idea of this season being one with Christ being the main focus of the season has become out of step with many, and as such, you have been seeing signs and cards in which the Christ in Christmas has been replaced by an X. This X symbolizes the rejection of Christ as being the reason for the season. Now, I am not going to go into all of the details of how this came about, but I will say this. As a Christian, one of those that has been sealed by God, the idea of going along with this by sending cards and gifts with the term Xmas on them is tantamount to your saying that you do not accept your heritage and the lordship of Christ. All that this season is about has literally been cast aside for what? It usually has to do with not wanting to offend people. Why should people be offended? Because, among other things, Jesus made it perfectly clear when he said that he and he alone is the only means by which man can be reunited with the Father. St. John 14 and 6, very popular passage of scripture that everybody should be able to, should know. It said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you will notice, he said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and not a way, a truth, or a life. Men can agree to disagree on many things and still be friendly towards one another. However, when it comes to religion, that is a whole other ball game. Some of the most deadliest wars that have cost untold billions of lives have been over religion. As a result, man has come up with the idea that in order to show ourselves friendly towards others, we should just hold our position to ourselves, talking about our religious positions and beliefs to ourselves, and go along with what others are thinking. In other words, it is okay to be a Christian when you are at home or in church, but when you are around others that may not share your faith, then you should put a lid on it and keep it to yourself. Let me ask you something. What if Jesus took the same point of view when he was here? Obviously, he would probably not have been crucified. And if that was the case, then where would you and I that are saved or born again be today? What if his disciples had held that same position on the day of Pentecost and thereafter? Where would you and I be today? Probably lost and on our way to hell. I think about Stephen, the first known Christian martyr, being stoned to death for preaching the word of God without fear of offending people, especially the leadership, the religious leaders and the politicians, the scribes and the Pharisees and such, even to the point of doing it while drawing his last breaths. You can read the story about that in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. If Stephen had only held his peace, he probably would have lived to a good old age. The point is, if it hadn't been for these individuals daring to go against the grain and offending people, I would dare say there would be no salvation for any of us. It is this salvation that was at the root of God's plan when he sent Jesus here to complete. And it was something that was a gift, something that was given even though we did absolutely nothing to earn it. You know, I have heard people say that when someone gives you something that you didn't earn or deserve, you tend to treasure it less than if you had earned it. You tend to enjoy those gifts for a while, then you throw them in the closet somewhere or give them to someone else. Could this be the reason for our disregard for the purpose of Christmas? Is it something to enjoy for a minute, then be rejected because it doesn't fit in with our politically correct way of thinking? Well, as insignificant as it may seem, this attitude is addressed in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. It carries with it a spirit of being comfortable with the things of this world and not realizing the gravity of our situation in the eyes of God. Don't you know that when the time comes, this same Christ that you have been ignoring, rejecting, and using only when all other means at your disposal have failed, will be the same one that will be your judge as to whether you go into eternal life or eternal damnation? This brings me into the last part of our subject scripture, which says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Notice the wording. What it is saying is that there are those of us that, even though we are saved or sealed, need to get away from or stop participating in things that go against what Christ commands. You see, the way things are today, just about everything that God says is evil or sin has been accepted as being the norm. This past November, after it was struck down by the Supreme Court, women, a lot of men, many of whom call themselves Christians, jumped on board the pro-choice train with the intentions of keeping abortion acceptable in individual states. It is bad enough for the ungodly to take such a stance, but totally another when those that name the name of Christ join in with this abomination. Then we have those that have joined into the support of the legislation that made gay marriage acceptable in this nation. Once again, except in a few cases, Christians remained silent. This means in both cases they were saying, it doesn't matter one way or the other. God has given his approval to these things, so the Stephens out there need to shut up talking about Stephen that was stoned to death for preaching against stuff like this. If there's any Stephens out there, they just need to shut up and be quiet. Then, of course, we have the old position of separation of church and state. This position essentially tells God of Christ, that when it comes to running this nation, he can butt out, because we can run this nation just fine without his help. Have you seen the condition we are in today? Crime is rampant. Our kids are being killed in record numbers by violence, in accidents, and other means. Our economy is in a mess. Foreign powers and terrorists have us essentially quaking in our boots, afraid to do anything that might set them off. If this is what you consider just fine, then I want a second opinion. Of course, I have that second opinion, but do you? You do if you follow this ministry, because I put it out there every day. It is in times like this that the church should be taking the lead on these things. Yet they are strangely silent. Why? Because it pays to be silent and to go along with the crowd. That's right. Much of the silence from church leadership is due to one thing, and that is they are being rewarded to be silent and not rock the boat. Without mentioning any names, even though you probably know who I am talking about, these preachers are raking in all sorts of cash and benefits for their churches and organizations, and themselves, mind you, from government and groups that need them to maintain their silence so that they can further expand their agenda. But that silence comes at a cost. Many souls are departing this life every day and headed into hell, because those that were charged with telling them the truth didn't do so. The Bible tells us that because the man of God did not warn the people about their evil ways, the people who died and ended up in hell would end up being a testimony against that preacher when his time came to be judged. Ezekiel 33:6 puts it this way: "But if the watchman or preacher see the sword come, or the curse come, or trouble come, or any other thing that's a threat comes, and he blows not the trumpet, or does not sound the alarm, and the people be not warned, if that disaster comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity," which means he essentially is going to end up in hell. But then God puts this, he says, "But his blood will I require at that watchman's or preacher's hand." Now, just because the term watchman or preacher is used here does not absolve any Christian of the responsibility of giving warning to the ungodly about their evil ways. Reason why I say that, there are people around each and every one of you today that would receive the warning from you because of their trust in you that would reject that same warning from anyone else. That, my friend, puts you in the position of being a watchman over their souls. Being silent means being complicit in their iniquity. And as Jesus says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It is time for all Christians to be about the Father's business and getting people to turn from their wicked ways before it is too late. Time is running out. For them, and especially you. It is time to separate yourself from being lukewarm and being on fire for Christ. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre at the close of this message, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening to the messages throughout the years. And if you've been donating any money to this ministry, thanking you for that as well. And I'm praying God's blessing on you and your families. And I just want to say, may God bless you and your families real good as we go forth into a new year, hopefully on the right path, so that we can be a blessing to those around about us and further ensure our own eternal destiny. God bless you and your families real good. This is Evangelist George McTyre saying have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.